Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
W. Somerset Maugham liked Maxim's restaurant in Paris so well that he used the restaurant to stage one of the 20th century's most popular novels, The Razor's Edge. But it was not he who first put Maxim's on the map. It was an aspiring Hungarian musician who was very much down on his luck when he and his bride ate at a then-obscure restaurant in Paris known as, yes, Café Maxim. When it was time for Franz Lehár to pay the bill for his meal, he reached for his money in his wallet and felt nothing. Frantically, he searched his pockets again. He thought, it had to be there or has to be there, but no, it was missing. He had been the victim of a pickpocket, and not only was his money missing, but his return train tickets back home to Vienna. Franz tried to explain what had happened. He made promises of payment at a later time, but the skeptical waiter thought, sure, I've heard that line 1,000 times and called the manager. But the manager saw something in the face and the eyes of the young man who stood before him and told him he was telling the truth. The young man assured him, sir, you will never regret this generosity of yours. I promise to make you and your restaurant famous. My ambition is to write an opera, and I shall put your restaurant in it. The manager, whose name is unknown today, surely thought, I'll just be happy to get a remittance from him paying for the meal. But to his great surprise, some 5 years later, The Merry Widow premiered at the Theater an der Wien in Vienna, and Café Maxim was front and center as eligible bachelors courted the rich Merry Widow. For a century now, people have heard about Café Maxim. They've sought out the restaurant, bringing, well, more than 1,000-fold return for the promise made by a distraught crime victim long ago. Was Lehár grateful for the confidence and trust placed in him? Obviously. Gratitude is an interesting expression of thanks, something only humans understand. Obviously, the pilgrims who came to the Cape in the 17th century were grateful to an Indian whose name was Somerset. He and a friend named Squanto, both of whom spoke English, taught the settlers to grow corn, tap maple trees, and farm the sea. At the end of the first harvest, November 29 was proclaimed a day of thanksgiving. Of course, the Indians were honored guests, but the pilgrims recognized God as the ultimate source of blessing, one who would use 2 unknown Indians to sustain them. A closing thought, something to carry with you throughout the day and week. It is impossible to be genuinely grateful without 2 things. First, identifying what you're thankful for. And then 2, to whom are you thankful? Franz Lehár was grateful that he was allowed to leave the restaurant without payment instead of going to a parish jail for the night, and he knew to whom he was indebted. Not the disbelieving waiter, but the manager who trusted him. Remember, gratitude involves specifics and individuals. It's not a have a nice day sort of nebulous thing. In a very secular culture today, one that often hesitates to mention thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings, the term Governor Bradford used in 1621, never forget what gratitude is all about and to whom you should be thankful.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.